this week, November 12, 2013, on The Digital Story. The camera battle, iPad Air versus the iPhone 5S. On the Nimbleosity Report, new goodies to delight you. And from the Photo Help Desk, taking control of exposure. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to The Digital Story. I have three excellent topics for you today. We're going to start out at the top of the show talking about the EyeSight cameras that are in the iPad Air and the iPhone 5S. We're going to do a little comparison between the two because people are shooting more and more with their iPads. How does that stack up to the excellent camera in the iPhone 5S? We're going to dig into that. And then for the second topic today on the Nimbleosity Report, I have been busy at work on the nimblephotographer.com, and I have some new goodies to share with you. So we'll talk about that, and I'm going to give you an update, too, about the whole shipping, U.S., you know, versus international, a little more detail about that, just so you know, okay? And then the third topic for today, we're going to take control of exposure. This is on the Photo Help Desk, and that's because we got a question on the Photo Help Desk about exposure compensation. And I thought, well, let's go ahead and broaden that a bit to three ways to better control exposure when you're taking photos. So we'll cover that in the third story today. Let's start with the iPad Air, the brand new iPad Air. What a beauty. Have you seen the commercial on TV where they hide the iPad Air behind a pencil? And of course, as you know, we're looking at it as photographers going, ah, very clever. They lowered the camera angle so that it is shooting straight at the pencil. There's no, you know, not above it, not below it, just right at it, so that you can cleverly hide that iPad Air behind the pencil. And then, of course, have the big ta-da, where they lift the iPad Air up and go, wow, that was cool. But, you know, it is a cool device, and, you know, it's not a bad commercial either. So it has a 5-megapixel EyeSight camera, and it also has a whole bunch of other stuff. I'm going to go over the feature highlights here in a second. Now, the iPhone 5S has an excellent EyeSight camera, and it's an 8-megapixel, and it has a little bigger sensor. So some folks are wondering, well, I like to shoot with the iPad sometimes because you have that nice big screen. How much am I giving up and where am I giving up when I shoot with the iPad? So I thought, you know, that's worth looking into a bit. So before we get to that, though, let's take a look at the iPad Air itself because it is quite a marvel. I tell you, you know, this thing weighs 1 pound. And it feels lighter than that when you hold it, when you lift it up. You know, for those of you that went from the iPhone 4S to the iPhone 5, I don't know if you had the same phenomenon as I did, but that iPhone 5, iPhone 5S felt so much lighter than the iPhone 4S. And to me, that's the way the new iPad Air is, too. It just feels so much lighter. It's really only 28% lighter. That's a lot. When we're down to this little of weight, 28% is a lot, but it's 28% lighter, weighs in at just 1 pound. And it's also super thin, as we know. You can hide it behind a pencil. That's not bad, right? That means it will fit in our camera bags in all sorts of different places. And, you know, that's one of the coolest things about the iPad is that it will fit in our existing bags and we can bring all of this power with us. We can bring a 9.7-inch display with a 2048 by 1536 resolution. That's over 3.1 million pixels. That is a lot of pixels, and I tell you, that makes our photographs look beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Now, powering this thing is the A7 chip, which is what we expected, with 64-bit architecture. And it also has that M7 coprocessor like we have in the iPhone 5S. 10-hour battery life. Wow. 10 hours, right? So you get 64-bit processing. You get this large 9.7-inch display. And you get 10 hours. Improved Wi-Fi, what they've done with the Wi-Fi now. And, you know, quite honestly, I felt like they needed to do this. And same's going to go for the new Mini with Retina display, which we'll talk about when it comes out. Now they have two antennas for the Wi-Fi in the iPad Air with what they call multiple input, multiple output technology. And I think what that means is it works better. I think that's really what it means. And so that is welcome because, you know, a lot of times, if you're like me, I'm using Wi-Fi whenever I can. The only time I really will switch on my iPad from Wi-Fi to cellular, even when Wi-Fi is available, is if I'm going to do some banking or something. If I'm going to do something really what I consider very secure or personal, like go to my banking account, then I switch to cellular because I'm just a little bit more comfortable with that than a Starbucks Wi-Fi or anything like that. So, but you know, most of the time for regular web browsing and things like that, I'm using Wi-Fi whenever I can, and having better Wi-Fi performance is going to be quite welcome. Now, we also get dual microphones. And then last but not least, in fact, it is the subject of this first topic, the 5-megapixel EyeSight camera. Now, first of all, a 5-megapixel camera is probably not going to compete very well with an 8-megapixel camera, all other things being equal, which to some degree they are. Where are they not equal? We're talking about comparing now to the iPhone 5S. Well, the iPhone 5S has a larger sensor. And it has more resolution. So the photo sites are a little bit bigger on it, and it's 8 megapixels. It has a better lens than what we see in the iPad Air. So, and these things come into play. Now, I have an iPad 3, and there was a big difference in the camera performance from the iPad 2 to the iPad 3. I mean, I could literally see it. I did side-by-sides, and I could really notice the difference. Now, from the iPad 3 to the iPad Air, I'm not sure that the difference is as big because most of the hardware, the camera hardware, has stayed the same. Where the difference is going to come in, and this will have some impact, is with the A7 processor. And when you have a more powerful processing, then you can do more things. We see that. We see that with the iPhone 5S. And one of the areas that I noticed with the iPhone 5S is better dynamic range. You know, the highlights and the shadows, there's more information. The images just are more photographic. And a lot of that, I mean, they can attribute some of it to the sensor, but I think a lot of that is just the processing. And that processing comes right down to that A7 processor and what they've done in there. In terms of fairness, I can tell you right now, the iPhone 5S has a better camera. It already has a great camera. I mean, it's going up against the best cameras out there, the Nokia and Samsung, the best they have to offer. The iPhone 5S holds its own against them. So we know that this is not a fair battle, but when you do want to shoot with your iPad, and those of you that have them, I have them, there are times I want to shoot with them. You know, when I want to do time-lapse photography with iStop Motion, I'd rather use my iPad, things like that. So what are you giving up? Well, in good full sunlight, you're not giving up as much, I can tell you. And if you did your own side-by-side test, what you would see is that the iPhone 5S has better dynamic range than the iPad Air. So you're going to see a little bit more information in the shadow areas. You're going to see a little bit more information in the highlight areas. One thing that I notice when you compare shots between the two of them is that the iPhone 5S shots to me are just crisper. And I don't mean so much sharpness, crisper. I mean that they just, the way that the tones are handled in the shot, they just have a little bit more pop. Now, here's the thing, though. It's not dramatic. And what I mean is that you really have to have the shot side by side for it really to jump out at you. If you're just looking at a nice shot with the iPhone 5S, and then you go over to the iPad Air and you look at a similar shot, and you're not doing them side by side, they're going to feel comparable, in all honesty. It's really when you export them to your computer and you put them side by side, you blow them up a bit, that's when I think you're going to notice more differences. Okay, now, low-light photography, things change quite a bit. In low-light photography, quite honestly, the iPhone 5S kicks hiney. It really, in low-light, and there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, it just does a better job of handling the tonal definition of a low-light shot. It's not nearly as muddy, has more contrast, there's more depth to the shot because of the range of tones. Just does a better job that way. Second area is that there's more image noise with the iPad Air than there is with the iPhone 5S. So you're going to see more of that noise, especially lingering in the shadow areas. The iPad Air just has more noise, and it will be noticeable to you. You'll notice, and on this, you don't have to have them side by side. You'll just know. You take a shot with one, and then you take a shot with the other, and you can look at them 5 minutes apart, and you'll go, yeah, the iPhone 5S is a lot better. And then the third thing is that, remember, the iPhone 5S has a flash, and it has a good flash, and the iPad Air doesn't have a flash at all. So with the iPad Air, you absolutely have to do existing light photography. If the light is low, then you don't have any options, so you're going to get something that's more muddy and flatter, more noise, and then no flash. As I say it here, boy, it really doesn't sound good, does it? not very appealing. So the bottom line is that I think you can get by with the iPad Air outside doing, you know, travel shots and having, you know, fun and all that. The shots will be actually just fine, quite good. The minute you come indoors, though, and the lighting goes down, then I don't think you're going to want to use the iPad Air. You're going to want to use something else. And that's the bottom line on that. So we don't think of iPads as something where we use the cameras a lot, but sometimes we want to be able to. And you can, as long as you're outdoors in nice lighting. Okay, second story, the Nimbelocity report. I've got goodies to talk about. So this is all from thenimblephotographer.com. And, you know, we're having a blast with this. Those of you that have been by and are participating, we're having a lot of fun. And the traffic has been quite good, so I appreciate that. Thanks so much for embracing this. So one of the first things I want to talk about is the journal. And if you like journals, if you sort of like, you know, journals are different than blog posts to me. Blog posts, when I do a post for the Digital Story, it's more of a news item in my mind. I'm reporting. I have more of my journalist hat on. Plus, there are images. I make sure I have the links right. I make sure that I verify what I'm talking about. And most of the time, I get it right. So the Digital Story is more of a photography news site, the way I see it these days. Whereas the journal on The Nimble Photographer, that's literally a journal. That is the way that I look at it. It's ideas. It's what I'm thinking about. It's things that I'm weighing. It's things that I'm feeling in the world of photography. For instance, when I wrote the journal entry about the closing of EverPix, you know, there was some emotion there. I was still talking about a news item in the sense that EverPix is closing its doors, but it's a service that I really liked. And I had advocated it to people. And so then I also had, you know, some feelings of sadness around that. So I talk more about that in the journal than I would probably in a news story on the digital story. Talked about just assignments that I have coming up and how I'm going to approach it. So the journal is a lot of fun, and I put links to it on our Digital Story Facebook page, and I tweet about it. But the reason why I'm bringing up is that if you like it, one of the journal entries that I did was just how to make the journal, you know, on your iOS device. It's very easy to do. I did a journal entry on it, and it's basically just like an iOS app, and you just tap it, and it'll take you right to the latest journal entry. It's a very easy way to do it. If you like the journal, I would go ahead and do it. The post is, I think the post is what? No iPhone app? So if you don't know how to do that already, just go to that journal entry and it'll tell you how to do it. Now, also, as part of the Nimbleosity report, you know, we're still doing stuff in the store. I have like kind of a plan for the store, at least a plan through the end of the year. The latest rollout is that we have a new Walking Man cap. We sold out of the first cap. I had to reorder. So now I reordered the original cap, which was a navy with a khaki bill. But I also have, we designed a second cap that has the same has a nice embroidery job of the Walking Man on the front with the Nimble Photographer embroidered on the back. It looks so good. And it is port, the main cap area, the color is port with a navy bill. And it looks really good. You can see it in the store. It's in the store right now. So we have those. And the reason why I designed that is because I put together two gift sets. And what I wanted to do, and this was the plan all along, I wanted to wait until the timing was right. But what I wanted to do was make something that was just a perfect gift for you to give to someone else who is a traveler, a Nimble photographer, someone who, you know, sort of appreciates this aesthetic. So there's two of them. One is navy, one is port. And the difference is the cap, right? So one has the port colored cap, and the other one has a navy colored cap. So it has one cap, one black Walking Man shoulder bag with stitched embroidery. It includes two fine art holiday cards. And these cards are printed on Red River paper, the Polar Mat. It's like 68-pound Polar Mat. It is a beautiful paper. So there are two cards, and it says Happy Holidays. It's got the Walking Man on the cover, and he has a red hat. It's I don't know. I think it's cute. I like it. Anyway, and then it's blank on the inside so that you can use it as a holiday card. And I put two of them in for a reason. There's two ways you can go with these two cards. One is that you could give the holiday gift set to somebody and use one of the cards for that and then keep one of the cards. Or if you wanted to break the holiday gift set in half, where you give one person the shoulder bag and another person the cap, then you've got two cards to go with it. And you can put whatever you want on the cards. And then on the back of the cards, I actually put the stock number of this beautiful Red River paper. So that if you like it, you go, wow, you know, I'd like to make some of these for myself. You can do that and you would know what to order. So it includes two cards. And then, wait, there's more. There's more. Then it's all packed in a holiday gift bag. And it's Nimble Green, which works both for Nimble Photographer site, because, you know, green is what the logo type's written in. And also it works as a holiday gift bag. So, and then we put it in a USPS priority box. So literally you open up the box, you pull out the bag, everything is packed in there, you sign the card, and you can give it to somebody. You are done. And that is the idea, is to make this like super easy. So you order these things, you could just leave them in the box, right? Until it's time to give it away. And then you just go back there, you sign the card, you can put a few words about, you know, what this Nimble Photographer thing is, and hand it to the recipient. It's literally that easy. Leah is packing these things beautifully. So when you get it, They're really nice. The other thing that I wanted to do is have this at a really good price. So the gift set with all the stuff I've been talking about is $49.95. Now, if you do the math on the cap and the shoulder bag, you will see that's quite a savings. And then you get more savings because we put it as one SKU, so that you're only paying for one item on the shipping, and it keeps the shipping costs down. As you may guess, I'm subsidizing your shipping costs because I want the shipping costs to be low, right? I don't want that to be a barrier. You get a great price on this, a super great price. And you know, this is you know how gift giving is. It could be a gift for you. It could be a gift for another photographer, traveler. You know, these things can go so many different ways. We have a fairly good supply of them. You know, when they run out, they run out. But we've got a pretty good supply of them, and we're ready to go. The gift bags are just now coming in, and so we've got orders already. I haven't promoted it yet, but people have spotted it. So, you know, they're probably going to start going out like Thursday or so. And they'll go out priority, 2-day to 3-day delivery with USPS. I hope you check it out because we put a lot of thought into it. I think it's a super nice gift. And how many super nice things can you get for, you know, $50, really? And this is super nice. All the way from the handmade card, the gift bag, to embroidered items that, you know, will last for years and years and years and years and years. Okay, so I want to talk about the shipping for a second, because one of the things that I'm getting a fair amount of mail about is, you know, shipping outside of the U.S. And man, believe me, I would love to ship outside of the U.S. I would, because we have so many people in our photography community that are in Europe, that are in Asia, that are in Australia, lots of folks in Australia, South America, Canada, all over the place. And I would love to be able to ship there. The fact of the matter is, though, we're not quite ready yet. And I want to explain the reason why. One of the things that I'm trying to do on anything that I start, whether it's Nimble Photographer, Photo Help Desk, The Digital Story, is that I want it to be good. I want it to be really good. And the deal with shipping isn't just getting it to you. We can usually figure out ways to get it to you. The deal with shipping is, when something goes wrong, how do we provide good customer service? And that's where it can get really sticky. And that's the part that, you know, we have to figure out. That's why a lot of companies have distributors in these different countries, so that when something goes wrong, you have someone local, more or less, to take care of them. Whereas if I'm trying to take care of someone in Japan, South Korea, something like that, the customer service is really going to suffer. And I don't want that to happen. And I really got a good look at this when we did the first round of shipments out of the Nimble Photographer. We had some bugs to work out with United States Postal Service, and we made right on everything. But the fact that I could make right so quickly and relatively easily made all the difference in the world. Everyone hung in there with me, you know, whenever we had to fix something, and it was easy. And you know, that's my concern about international shipping. So we're working on it. And once we, you know, figure out some ways, and it's probably going to be something that's going to roll out in different areas. You know, it won't be just like the whole world, because we're not Amazon, we're not B&H Photo, we're, you know, kind of a boutique operation here. But we are looking at it. So if you want something out of the store and you know someone that you can use their U.S. address, you know, I would go that route. If not, just know that, you know, we're working on it. And know the reason why we haven't rolled it out is because, you know, our thing will always be to provide, you know, the best service that we can. Because, you know, every one of you guys and gals are super important to me. And I don't want any little wrinkle to mess up that relationship. All right, so that's the Nimbleosity Report. Photo Help Desk. So something came up about exposure compensation. And I was thinking, you know, it's not a exposure lock, actually. And this is from photohelpdesk.com. And I thought it'd be nice just to review exposure in general, just for a minute. Just take a minute here. Now, when your camera isn't giving you the exposure you want on a scene, I think you have three basic options. One is exposure lock. One is exposure compensation. And the other is just switching to manual exposure. Now, exposure lock, most of the time, the kind that I'm talking about is where you have a button on your DSLR, like on my Canon, it looks like kind of an asterisk button. It's on the back near the top. And I can point the camera in an area. And I'm like, if I'm doing portraits outside, I usually point it down to grass or up to blue sky if I have it. Press this button, and it will lock in that exposure reading for about 16 seconds. Then I can recompose and take the shot. Now, why do I do grass or blue sky? Because what the camera is trying to do is turn everything to 18% gray. And believe it or not, grass and sky and, you know, foliage in general are right in that zone. So if there's lights and darks on, you know, your subject, you can point down to an evenly lit area of grass that's getting about the same amount of light, do the exposure lock there, recompose, and you'll be surprised at how good the shot works. That's one way. Another way, and I do exposure lock more on my DSLR. I do exposure compensation more with my mirrorless camera, especially my OMD, because I have the electronic viewfinder there, and I'm looking through there, and I can just rotate that dial that is around the shutter button. That's the exposure compensation dial on my OMD. And I can see in real time through the electronic viewfinder the changes that those exposure compensation settings are making. And I love that. That's one of the, there are some things I don't like about the electronic viewfinder, but this is one that I really do. Because on any camera, especially the mirrorless cameras that have the electronic viewfinders, exposure compensation is a joy because you get to see the compensation in real time. And a lot of times I'm just cranking it up to plus one or doing, you know, minus two thirds, get it the way it looks good in the electronic viewfinder, take the picture, it's a joy. So with the mirrorless cameras, with the electronic viewfinders, I like exposure compensation. With the DSLRs, I like exposure lock. And then with either of them, you always have the option of manual exposure, figuring it out, maybe doing a few test shots, looking at the histogram on the LCD, then locking it in with manual exposure, and then it just stays, no matter what's happening in the scene, until the lighting changes. And then you don't have to worry about your meter being fooled. And so manual exposure is also very handy. So those are the three ways I like to go. Exposure lock, DSLRs, exposure compensation, mirrorless cameras with electronic viewfinders, and manual exposure with any camera that'll do it. They're all great. Okay, the photo assignment for November is critters. I'm expecting something interesting here now. Come on, give me some stuff. We're on a roll. We've got some good-looking photo assignments. Critters. Do something fun. One of those people that gives me a good critter shot will be selected as the Sizzle Pick Pick of the Month. And Sizzle Pick sponsors the photo assignment and the sponsor of the digital story. And, you know, what they're reminding us right now is that, speaking of gifts, Sizzle Picks make fantastic gifts. Now's the time to be ordering it, right? Do not wait till the last minute. If you order it now or in this, you know, this November zone here, they'll have the chance to finally craft your Sizzle Picks and really make something special. They have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story, and you can find them at sizzlepix.com, sizzlepix.com. It's high definition output. Beautiful stuff. Like a retina display you can hang on your wall. Sizzle Picks, don't wait too late. to order your sizzle picks as a holiday gift. And Red River Paper, got to mention them. You know, I chose them, of course, hands down, for the holiday gift cards that are in the Nimble Photographer Kit, because this polar mat, this 68-pound polar mat, is gorgeous. And if you order one of these gift sets, you'll see what I mean when you get that card. So get your greeting card stock now. Get your ink now. Make something beautiful. These greeting cards can be gifts. I mean, if you take one of these greeting cards that you made, you took the shot, you made the greeting card, put a Starbucks gift card in it and give it to somebody, that is a fantastic gift. It's personal. It's affordable. It looks great. And you can get it at Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. They have a rocking Facebook page, facebook.com/Red River Paper. All right. I think that is going to do it for me this week. Next week, I got a great treat for you. So make sure you tune in to next week's show, because we're talking about goodies. You're going to have serious goodies in next week's show. And I got the EM1. It came. So I'm shooting with it. So I'll be talking about it pretty soon, the Olympus EM1. I've got a Sigma. One of their compact cameras is coming. I'm going to test that out with the Foveon sensor. So we're going to be talking. I mean, there's lots of stuff in the works. Come back, join me next week, take some great shots, go to the Nimble Photographer and check out the journal, make it your a button on your homepage, and just have a great week. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.